The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 29th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. Anyway, I have a special guest this morning. Joining me in the studio is Jenny Blaker. Jenny is a longtime participant in the environmental movement. Last week when I interviewed Starhawk, we talked a bit about ecofeminism, and in reading Jenny's resume, I would put her in that category. She recently coordinated the coalition opposing new gas stations with my dear friend Woody Hastings. She recently created a biomass power basics fact sheet resource list. For today's show, she'll be talking about us, about protecting forests and opposing the biomass energy industry, a subject I have to admit I know a little about, but not much, and I'm looking forward to being educated. A little trivia about Jenny. On March 21st, 2009, the National Women's History Project, now called the Women's History Alliance, honored Jenny Blaker as one of the seven women in Sonoma County to be recognized as women taking a lead to save the planet. Today is also the last Monday of April, and we'll be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge. Oh, where did April go? We're moving into May. Time is really flying. Well, I want to say a special happy birthday to my beautiful daughter, Susan. I can hardly believe that she's 60 years old. For me, it's been 60 years of joy, and I know it will be many, many more years of joy for her. She is a fabulous daughter, a wonderful, wonderful wife, a beautiful mother, a great grandmother, a friend, and a soccer player. I'm immensely, immensely proud of her. She also owns her own plumbing company, Economy Plumbing, a little shout out for them. She continues to be a blessing in my life, and through our relationship, I grew to understand what love truly is. I am honored to be her mother. We had a wondrous birthday party at Safari West. And you know, it was so interesting being at Safari West because suddenly I realized when they were showing, they showed snakes and an alligator, and they showed a little fox and, oh, all kinds of different animals. And I couldn't believe when I looked them straight in the eye that all these animals had two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and a body. And some of them looked like they had hands, and some just had feet, just like us. And I thought to myself, my God, we're all relatives in this planet. I mean, we're all living on this, our Mother Earth. And it was just so amazing to see all these animals, and also to see how these animal trainers, what they could do with these little creatures. It was just amazing, amazing to me. Well, also, I have to do a special shout-out to my beautiful granddaughter, Katie, and her fiancé, Trevor Elliott, who are listening this morning. Love to both you guys. I just think it's amazing that you've been here for your mom's birthday, and I really appreciate both of you. Well, you know, I have a few announcements to make I think are pretty interesting that people need to pay attention to. First of all, I found out that on May 1st, they're going to be having a special march. And if you go to www.womenspaces.com, we'll have all that information on there. And also on May 5th, from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at Old Courthouse Square, there's going to be, it's called the Young People of the 60s. And they're going to be honoring them. And, you know, a lot of things happened in the 60s that were really very disturbing. One of them was a particular shooting at Kent State University in 1970. Boy, I remember that day like it was yesterday. I could not believe in my country that our National Guard was shot a student or two. They actually shot two students on Kent State. I was just shocked. And all the protesting that was going on, and I remember the burning of draft cards. And, you know, so many of the young men were coming back from Vietnam at that time expressing the horrors that were going on there and the unfairness of the war. In fact, my dear friend Keith Alden just passed away, and he stayed with us for a month, and I asked him, I said, he had PTSD pretty bad. And I asked him that one night, I said, so Keith, what did you do in Vietnam? And he went, he said, I was a gunner. Oh, I didn't want to go there. I said, okay, I heard you're a gunner. And then he told me, and looked at me in the most terrified eyes I've ever seen him look before when he said, yeah, and I didn't know who I killed or how many I killed. Just broke my heart when I think about that. So there's going to be a protest on Sunday, May 5th from 2 to 3:30 at Old Courthouse Square to not only protest the wars that are going on now, but to honor these young people who gave their lives for standing up for what they believed to be justice and to end the wars. My God, you know, you'd think by now we have figured a way. I sometimes look up in the air and I see these airplanes flying. I say, oh my God, we can build airplanes. We can do all these other wonderful things and we can't find a way to sit down and talk about peace and justice. Amazing. I have another announcement to make, and that there's going to be, it's called the Future Social Justice Conference 2024. And that's going to be happening Friday, May 3rd from 9 to 2:30. And that's going to be at the Santa Rosa Petaluma Camp, the Santa Rosa JC Petaluma campus in Petaluma. I guess that's where the campus is in Petaluma. And they're going to be having this event there. And I think what you can do is just go on Santa Rosa JC at santarosagc.com and you can find out all the information about the conference that is taking place. Well, there's a lot going on, you know. You know, there's so much to do. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's so important that we all show up and support these events. Well, like we do every week, we do our History is Our Strength. And I cannot believe this. It's so interesting when you look at our History is Our Strength. I found a very interesting piece of trivia here that happened. It's April 26, 1777. Okay, it's April 26, 1777. American Revolution heroine Sybil Ludington, who was 16 years old, rides 40 miles on horseback in the middle of the night to warn the American militia that the British were invading. It was a woman, after all. It wasn't Paul Revere, but it was this 16-year-old woman, Sybil Ludington, who was 16 years old at the time. She rode 40 miles on horseback to announce that the British were invading. I just think that is really an amazing, amazing feat when you start thinking about it. And then on my daughter's birthday, which is April 28th, but this happened April 28th, 1993, it was the first Take Our Daughters to Work Day. And then later on in 2003, of course, it became Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. Couldn't just leave it for daughters, had to add everybody else, but that's okay. It's very, very important. You know, but here it was, April 28th, that was the first time that they actually took our daughters to work day. I remember when I took my granddaughter to work. that one day. It was really kind of fun and very, very interesting to see how she reacted, like, oh, Grandma, what do you do with this and what do you do with that, you know, and listening to me on the phone. I was a sales manager at the time, listening to me talking to all these different people. And she said, I want to talk on the phone too, Grandma. And I remembered that. And that was that Take Our Daughters to Work Day. And I took my granddaughter that time. Well, here's another important birthday that I think is kind of interesting, too. She was born April 29th, 1880, and made her transition in 1965. That was Lillian Bertha Jones. That's interesting. You know, my mother's name is Bertha. She hated the name Bertha. But Lillian Bertha Jones, Horace, pioneering educator and writer, Texas's earliest known African-American woman novelist, one of only two Black Southern women novelists of the early to mid-20th century. Zora Neale Hurston was the other one, also was an African-American. And she's only one of only two Black women nationally to own a publishing company before 1920. And she was the only Black woman nationally to author a utopian novel in 1950. Amazing what these women accomplish. It really is. It's an amazing, amazing deal what they accomplish. It's just amazing to me sometimes. Well, I got one last birthday, and I believe this woman is still alive. She was born April 30th, 1939, and her name is Ellen Zielwich. She was the first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize for music in 1983. Just amazing. Just amazing. Well, happy birthday and congratulations to this one young 16-year-old who ran around saying the British are invading. And amazing what these women have accomplished. And when you look at history, you know, when I was growing up, I knew nothing about this. I knew nothing of this history at all. So it's an amazing century we have right now that we can find out all these different things. Well, like we do the first Monday of the month, the last Monday of the month, we do our Women's Spaces Pledge, and our guest still has not arrived. And so, Ken, would you do the pledge with me?
Sure will.
Oh, I mean, this is really great. Okay, so we're going to do it. First, I will say it, and then I'll read one line, and then we'll read it together. So first, I'm going to say the whole thing. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And you know, I read that, Ken, 5 times before I come into the studio. So now I'm going to say one line at a time, and then you repeat after me, and then we'll do it together, okay?
I got it.
My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship
with myself
and my higher power. Wow. Doesn't that feel good, Ken?
It does.
Yeah, it really feels good. You know, you say, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. So I'm going to have Ken say it with me one more time, Ken. Let's say it together.
Okay.
My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Amazing, amazing. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And when we return, I will be talking with Jenny Blaker. Jenny is a longtime participant in the environmental movement. She recently co-coordinated the coalition opposing new gas stations with my dear friend Woody Hastings. She recently created a biomass basics fact sheet resource list. For today's show, she will be talking to us about protecting forests and opposing the biomass energy industry subject. And I must admit, I know very little about this, and I'm looking forward to getting educated. So we're going to take a new musical break right now, Ken, and we're going to play one of my, actually, I like this song. It's called, it's just a minute long, and it's called The Earth is Our Mother, and it's sung by Revel's Children. And when we come back, like I said, we'll be talking with Jenny Blaker. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And unfortunately, right now, we're having some technical difficulty, and we're going to play one or two songs, and then we will be back with our guest, Jenny Blaker, who is an environmentalist in Sonoma County.
Thank you. my dreaming will have an aspect bright and fair. In my sleeping, it was broken, but my dream, it lingered near. In the form of shining valleys, oh, where the pure air recognized. In my senses, a newly opened, well, I awakened into the cry that the people have the power to redeem the world from fools. Upon the meek, the grace is showered. Well, it's decreed the people rule. People have. And bending low as if to hear. Well, then the armies ceased advancing because the people had their ear. And the shepherds and the soldiers, well, they laid beneath the stars, exchanging visions, laying arms to waste in the dust, in the form of shining valleys, oh, where the pure air are recognized. And my senses are newly opened, and I awakened to the cry.
People have the power. People have the power. People have the power. People have the power.
Where there were deserts, I saw fountains, and like cream, the waters rise. And we strolled there together, when under laugh, don't criticize. Well, then the leopard and the lamb lay together, oh, truly bound. Well, I was hoping, in my hoping, surrender into my sleeping.
Hello, everybody. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your Holtz. And we've had a little bit of technical difficulty here. And joining me in the studio this morning is Jenny Blaker. Jenny, let us continue. We were first talking about how you first got involved in the environmental movement and who were your heroes and what inspired you at that point.
Well, my first, I have to first of all credit my father, who was very interested in nature, protecting nature, and especially interested in birds. And I grew up as a child in India, but when we went to England when I was about 8 or 9, we lived on the edge of a nature reserve. And so it's sort of in my blood, in my genes from the beginning. When I came to Katadi about 27 years ago, I was amazed at the amount of development going on, sort of sprawl development, and I could see all these beautiful green open spaces getting paved over with asphalt and concrete. And I got very quickly drawn into various sort of land use issues, trying to protect endangered species. And I went to some really inspiring classes at Santa Rosa Junior College, learning about ecology, environmental philosophy, etc. And later on, I got very involved with this group called Katadi Creek Critters. It was a habitat restoration project, planting trees along the Laguna Waterway in Katadi. And at the same time, I did a wonderful class at Sonoma State University, which was a master's degree called Action for a Viable Future. And through that, I learned a lot more about, again, ecology and the background to this area. So I've been very involved for 27 years here in the local, in Sonoma County, to do with all kinds of environmental issues.
Well, thank you. And also at that time, you won an award. You were actually considered one of the 7 women in our county that actually was making an impact on the environment.
That was amazing to me because there were some other incredible women doing amazing things at that time. And so it was an incredible honor to be part of that as well.
Do you think as more and more women get involved in the environmental movement, it gives it more impact, more of a push?
I certainly hope so. There's some certainly very powerful women around. I was listening to your program last week with Star Hawk, who's always an inspiration. And yes, I hope that as more and more women are involved, they'll be more and more listened to and powerful.
I know. I mean, I really think it's so important because, you know, we do bring in the children in the world, and we definitely need a good environment or they're not going to survive. In fact, I was reading an article about people that are living 100 years and 110 years here in the United States, and they're saying that that's going to drop off because of the environment, and that some of the people that have lived longer lives have had a better opportunity because of what was going on way back then and now what's happening today. So it's kind of interesting when you start thinking about Rachel Carson wrote the Silent Spring 60 years ago, and we're still trying to get Roundup off the market.
Still struggling with a lot of the same issues and new ones. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a member of the Sonoma County Climate Activist Network, SOCAN, which was formed in July 31st, 2017. Talk about that program. Talk about its mission. And also, what are some of the challenges that we're being faced in this county today?
Well, the Sonoma County Climate Activist Network, SOCOCAN, is an alliance of about, I think, over 50 local climate action groups and over 200 individuals, very active email network, conversations going on. We meet quarterly, 4 times a year on the 5th Monday of every month. So actually there's going to be a meeting this evening on Zoom. And it's about uniting local groups and concerned citizens with common interests about protecting the environment and the climate. So some of the recent issues people have been involved in, as well as the protecting forests and the biomass issue, which I'm going to talk about, are things like pesticides, replacing artificial turf with natural green grass. There's been a lot of work in the past on climate emergency resolutions, the all-electric REACH code, We got a lot of support from SoCoCan on the opposing new gas stations. So there are a whole range of issues that individuals in that network get involved in and get support by all of us working together.
Well, you said something interesting. What's natural grass?
Oh, what I meant was that in places where playing fields and things would originally have been grass, there's now more and more plastic artificial turf, which has a lot of disadvantages and is polluting and leads to more waste in landfills and that kind of thing. I'm not personally particularly involved with that issue, but the group as a whole has been supporting people who are.
That's amazing. I mean, when it's like you're always picking up different things.
Yes, yes.
Well, we're going to take a musical break now, and we're going to play the song that we originally. Is that okay, Ken? We got that all geared up. The morning is broken, and then let me just go back to my notes and see if I can find that. Oh, yes, it's going to be sung by Emily Ling and Sina. And when we come back, I'm going to continue my conversation with Denny Blaker. We're going to talk now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about biomass, and we're going to talk. And she's very passionate about this, so I'm really interested in learning about it. And so let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Morning Has Broken.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for the springing, fresh from the world. Sweet the rains new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness, where is morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for the
thinking of getting up in the morning and all of a sudden you hear the first birds, you know, sing, or you see a crow in your backyard. It's so interesting. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and joining me in the studio is environmentalist Jenny Blaker, and I'm really excited about this next portion. But before I go on, you know, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, and I know that my niece Katie and her fiance Trevor are listening, and I want to do a shout out. Hi, Katie. Katie's here from San Diego. She was here to celebrate her mother's 28th birthday, her mother's 60th birthday that happened on April 28th. So just a little shout out. I just love my beautiful granddaughter, and I'm so happy that she's listening. Anyway, like I said, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. And Jenny, we were talking about, you were talking about the SoCo organization, and now let's just talk a little bit about the biomass that you've been talking about, that when you first emailed me that you mentioned this is what you wanted to talk to. When you say biomass, can you explain what that means? I mean, what is that?
Well, biomass is literally sort of organic living matter, everything that's alive. But in this context, biomass energy is when we burn organic matter to make energy, to make fuel. So it could be wood, it could be crops that are grown especially for burning as fuel. It could be animal waste. All kind of things get burned to make energy. In this particular case, what we're talking about is forest-based biomass energy, in other words, trees. And I just want to back up a little and say, you know, at the moment, of course, one of the major, major problems facing the whole planet is climate change. We all know that. Maybe not quite so many people are aware of the biodiversity crisis as well, the loss of species and species going extinct. We hear a lot about not burning fossil fuels for energy, and that's obviously really, really important because we need to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases. But there's an increasing movement that's very well funded to start using trees as fuel, like to turn trees, to turn forests into electricity, into fuel pellets for export on the international market, and into liquid fuels to replace like gasoline or aviation fuels. And this is a disaster because in many ways it's like a triple whammy, because on the one hand, trees are our life support system, really, the life support system of the planet. Trees supply so much in terms of regulating the climate and air, oxygen. You know, they just, if you think about trees, they do so much. And cutting trees down to burn them for fuel makes no sense at all. You're taking away the ability of that tree to sequester and store carbon. When trees are cut down, more carbon is released into the atmosphere, which is exactly the opposite to what we need. And the burning of wood for fuel produces a lot of emissions, toxic emissions. It's worse than burning coal in terms of the amount of energy that is produced. It produces more toxic emissions than coal.
This is crazy.
It is completely crazy.
Wait a minute. Here we're trying to improve the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying there's a climate crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that we know, I mean, we know from the, you know, from the rainforest how important the forests are.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to burn trees to create energy, and it's going to cause more harm to the atmosphere?
Yes, and it's become one place which is devastated. The southeastern USA has been devastated. It's our forests being cut down for fuel, and it's also incredibly toxic. Wherever these processing plants are, the mills, the places that burn the fuel, there are very toxic emissions that cause everything from, they've been linked to things like asthma, lung disease, heart disease, cancer, even birth defects and dementia.
I have to be honest with you. I really do. I am so shocked.
It is totally.
Because I'm getting educated. I am literally shocked to hear that we're creating another problem for ourselves. That's what it sounds like. And I'm curious, you know, I know when our past president came in, he destroyed a lot of the environmental information that we had. And I'm wondering if that has anything to do with some of this stuff that's going on. Like, we don't have the correct data that all of a sudden they're doing something like this. How is this happening? And, you know, one of your questions was, after this first question was, is what are the most important things we can do to protect our homes and communities from wildfires? And is the biomass, is that their logic, that they think that it's going to protect by burning the trees, that they're going to protect from more fires? I mean, what is their logic?
Thank you. What great question. So first of all, yes, the previous president talked about raking the forests. It sounded so absurd, and yet that's kind of what's beginning to happen, in that the most important things we can actually do to protect homes and communities from wildfire, and there's so much evidence for this, and most people agree, the most important thing we can do is what is called home hardening and maintaining defensible space. So home hardening includes really easy things like keeping our gutters clear of dead leaves, taking dead leaves off the roof, clearing flammable things away from the first 5 feet around your house. Those are super important. And then there are things we've been hearing about, like covering the vents, you know, attic vents with wire mesh to stop flying embers flying in, because 95% of the fires that have been destructive to homes have been caused by flying embers that can be wind driven for a mile or more. And if you put vents across the wire mesh across attic vents that can keep out the embers, that makes a huge difference. Then there's more expensive and more difficult things as well, like making sure that you have a roof that is fire resistant as opposed to, say, wood shingles or something. And you can do things like putting in sprinklers. But some of the things are very easy and simple and don't cost a lot of money.
You know, it's interesting you talk about those fire embers. When we had the fire over here by our home, which was over here by Coffee Park, we had Bibles, burned Bibles that came into our backyard, embers, really, like they almost looked like a rock. And there they were in our backyard simmering. It was just amazing. I didn't know there's like, so you can kind of build like a catch. That kind of catches it.
Well, it's not so much catching it as it's, that would be to stop them kind of coming into your attic, because some of the fires start when embers fly in through those vents and they start from inside the attic. But there's also maintaining defensible space, which means things like cutting dead vegetation away from up to about 100 foot around your house. It doesn't have to be a complete desert. You don't have to keep everything out. It's just certain ways of thinning the vegetation up to about 100 feet away. And beyond that, a lot of scientific research has shown that beyond that, either makes no difference or actually makes things worse, because by cutting trees far from anywhere, you're actually opening up the way for the flying embers to blow through faster. If you can imagine the difference between being under a shady tree or in a forest on a really hot summer's day, it's cool, you know, in the shade of the forest. You go out into the open sunshine and it's really hot and you get parched very quickly. Well, when they're cutting down a lot of vegetation, supposedly in the name of fire resilience, can actually make matters worse, because things dry out, the soil dries out, the shade is taken away. So that kind of cutting down of forests far from homes is counterproductive, but it's being very very much supported. The mainstream propaganda is saying that we need to clear and do a lot of so-called thinning vegetation management. A lot of it is actually an excuse for more logging, and it's being done on a vast scale.
Can I ask you a question? As we have this conversation, which to me is a constant question I have, who's running the show? I mean, you know, the things that we're talking about, and we've been talking about it for 60 years. I mean, we had the last Monday of the show was when I had Starhawk on. That was Earth Day. And we had Ken was reading that he buried a car in San Jose in 1970. You know, and here we are in 2024. You know, what I still cannot wrap my mind around is, although in one of the things that Starhawk pointed out, she says many wonderful things have been happening, but at the same time, it seems that we're still on this destructive path. And I don't understand it. I mean, what is the mindset that stops this? I mean, we know money, but these people that, you know, you have a dollar in your pocket, you still have a wife, you still have a family, you still have all these different things that have to be protected. What do you think is stopping us from not escalating a lot quicker about this whole thing around climate change? And now we're adding this actual new thing, which is biomass. So you're having to fight another issue on top of all the issues that we've been fighting.
Yes, exactly. Follow the money. And also, unfortunately, there's tremendous support for the wrong thing by a lot of the government agencies. A lot of the, I don't know if you've heard about the plan to build two giant fuel pellet processing plants, one in Tuolumne County, one in Lassen County, that we would be exporting 1 million tons a year of fuel pellets, they call them. That's basically like ground up forest. 1 million tons of wood pellets a year for export on the international market to Asia. And this is being planned now. It would be disastrous because it means there would be this constant, the pellets would be burned for energy in Asia and Europe, like instead of coal or even with coal. There's toxic emissions at the places where they're being processed. They would be exported from Tuolumne County and Lassen County via the community of Stockton, which is already a low-income community facing a lot of pollution, toxic pollution. They already have a lot of problems to deal with. It would be exported from Stockton. So these wood pellets from California forests would be shipped across the world for them to burn as energy. And as you say, it just seems completely crazy. It doesn't make any sense at all. But it's being backed up by government agencies, by our own county supervisors. The Golden State Natural Resource is a kind of alliance of various government agencies at the state level and so on. That's on a massive scale. And then there are smaller projects happening already. I think there's a company called Drax, which is based in the UK, which has something like 18 pellet processing plants already in the USA. This is the company that's been responsible for devastating southeastern USA forests and communities who've been suffering from all these terrible health impacts. And they've been in Canada, and now they're looking at California, and they're actually looking to support this Golden State Natural Resource based in Northern California.
What's even crazier is that about all this is that I've never heard any of this on the news or any discussion about this or any promos on this, and I think it's really important. So I think the next question that I have to ask you that I think is very, very important, and I want to have a little time to play this song. There's a song I'm going to play. It's about a minute long. It's called The Earth Is Our Mother by the Children Singing, which is, I think, is an amazing song. Talk about what you think people can do and how they can get a hold of you and how people, more and more people, can participate. I notice in my own email there's a lot of information that comes from SoCo. A lot of information. How can people get involved, and what are some ideas that you have that people can participate?
Well, one of the most important things to do is to learn more about the issues, because it is such a huge and complicated problem. And the other thing is to be very, very aware of greenwashing. There's so much greenwashing going on, so many false solutions being promoted. Alternative, we know we have to stop burning fossil fuels, but most people don't know yet that wood is being burned instead of fossil fuels in places. Or there are all these other things like carbon store and capture or hydrogen. Or there are many, many things that are really just greenwash, false solutions. And I have this amazing booklet that we've been distributing called Hoodwinked in the Hot House, Resist False Solutions to Climate Change. So I'd like to leave that with you. But that is something is for people to really learn about these issues. And then all kinds of things, from spreading the word by writing letters to the editor, writing articles, speaking to our elected representatives. There is an excellent petition online from an organization called Forests Forever. Forestsforever.org has a petition about this Golden State Natural Resource and company Drax that I was just talking about. There's some good things going on. There's actually a Senate bill called the Forest Biomass Emissions Act, where four senators, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Ed Markey, and Chris Van Hollen, are asking them to look into this issue of the health impacts on low-income communities from burning biomass.
Tell that, repeat that number, and how can people find out information?
Okay, so the Sonoma County Climate Activist Network has this biomass fact sheet. I'll just read out the whole thing. So sonomacountycan.org/biomass-facts.html. It's a bit of a mouthful, or you can go to the sonomacountycan.org and look for the information on biomass. There's also a Sonoma County Climate Activist Network email address, which is sonomacountycan@gmail.com. And there's a phone number, 707-595-0320. 595-0320. And I'm very grateful that SoCoCan has taken up this issue so that the fact sheet, which is really a sort of fact sheet resource list with a lot of links to all kinds of articles, videos, explanations about what's going on, it makes it possible for people to delve into this issue very deeply and learn more about it. So that website, it's great that SoCoCan is allowing us to have this biomass information up on their website and encourage people to get involved. We've also been doing things like tabling at the two Earth Day events last weekend at Earth Day in Santa Rosa and the Climate Fest in Healdsburg. We had a tables about it. And we'll also be tabling at the event coming up at the Santa Rosa Junior College in Petaluma that you mentioned, the We the Future social justice event. This is very much an environmental justice issue because the people who get most heavily impacted by all the negative health effects are often from low-income communities, communities of color. It's very much a social justice issue, environmental justice issue, as well as an environmental issue.
Well, Jenny, I really want to thank you for this interview. You know, I'm sorry we had the technical difficulty, but, you know, when you're live on radio, you never know what's going to happen, and we just have to go with the flow. But what was so amazing about this interview, and I have to say it, if number one is that in my mind, I just kept saying, my God, this is nuts, you know, that we go from one issue, one problem that we haven't even solved, and we were creating more problems to try to solve the problem, and we still can't solve the problem. I mean, it's like this big, it's like this. I mean, it's like we can't stop warring. We can't stop destroying our planet. I mean, when are we going to wake up? I mean, when you start thinking about it. So I want to thank you so much for being a guest on Women's Spaces and for educating us. And I hope to have you back on again to talk a little bit more in depth about this, because I think people need to understand it. And people need to understand how they can make a difference. Like you said, write, you know, once you find out about it, write your letter to the editor. In fact, I just feel like writing a letter to the editor and just saying, Dear Editor, in big capital letters, what's going on?
Protect our forests. That's the message. Protect our forests and say no to biomass energy. And thank you so much, Elaine, for the opportunity to speak. It's been wonderful to spend time with you, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity to spread the word. Thank you.
I love it. People, they say that I'm just grateful to have you on, and I'm grateful that you, as an individual in our community, that's standing up and doing some work. I want to thank you so much and thank all the group. Because I get emails from you all the time. I'm reading up and say, oh, they're into this, they're into that. So thank you so much. Well, that's it for our show. And I want to do a special thank you. I'm sorry about, like I said, we had a little technical. Well, I'm sure we're going to clean it up. I want to thank Jenny Blakely. Jenny is a longtime participant in the environmental movement. You know, like I said, a little trivia about her, that she was awarded by the National Women's History Project in 2009, and that women taking a lead to save our planet. Amazing, because many, many women have to take our lead to save our planet. You know, I'm a great grandmother, and when I look at my great grandchildren, I think to myself, they're just precious little mysteries. You know, how'd they get here? You know, I just lost my dear friend Keith Alden. Where is he? You know, I look at his picture and I think, where are you, Keith? You know, you were just here saying, you know, what's up? What's new? All the different little phrases you had. And here we are sitting here in the studio again, you know, talking about the planet, talking about the environment, talking about how we're going backwards on some levels and trying to move forward on others. I mean, we stopped gas stations on one level, and here now we got the, now they want to burn trees, and I mean, we can't afford to burn our trees. I mean, that, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Well, anyway, you've been listening to Women's Basis. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time. And like I say at the end of show, every week, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that.
Then the woman in your life, as she's trying to come through, a woman's voice with messages, a woman's feelings. Oh, the woman in your life, she can feel so easily. She knows everything you do, because the sure to give you courage, and who will surely make you strong, who will bear all the joy that is coming to you, if not a woman in your life, as she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life,
the previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 29th, 2024.